outline. If you have your Bible, let's look in Habakkuk again. That story illustrates the principle of humility, which is you must lose to win. You know, those two small colleges playing, Western Oregon and Central Washington, the opposing team carried that girl around the bases. They knew by doing that they would probably lose the game, but they did the right thing. It reveals humility, it reveals character, but also it illustrates the principle that I want to talk to you just a few moments about, and that is you got to lose sometimes to win. You know, the Bible teaches the exact opposite of what the world teaches. The world says just run over everybody. Stand up for your rights. The Bible teaches that we, as Christians, we don't have any rights. And we're to promote others. It's the very opposite of pride. You know, it's so difficult for us to understand that pride and humility can't dwell in the same heart. This self-centeredness we have. Back at chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, there's a contrast of the proud Babylonians and those who are God's people who live by faith. Look with me in verse number 4 of Habakkuk chapter 2. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. That's another way of saying, if self is on the throne, nothing will ever, ever be right. But the just shall live by his faith. Now, a better reading would be this: the just shall live by God's faithfulness. Now, that's how we're to live. We're to know that God is faithful. His promises are new every day. His compassions fail not. Our God truly is faithful. Verse 5, he also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. This principle of losing in order to win. There's a contrast between the proud and the humble. If you don't have Nancy Lee DeMoss's book on brokenness, let me encourage you to purchase it at the bookstore. Nancy Lee DeMoss was a speaker, not a preacher, but for Life Action. She was taught biblical principles on how to live the Christian life by Del Faisenfeld. Del Faisenfeld began the ministry in Michigan. He had a brain tumor and struggled many, many years with that brain tumor and eventually died. And Life Action teams come into churches and they most of the time spend at least 2 weeks in a church. I believe that the former pastor to this church just had Life Action in his church in North Carolina not too long ago. I've been exposed to Life Action. I thank God for their ministry. I thank the Lord for the principles of revival. I've been a student of revival for a long time. And I would say to you that we're in desperate straits in this country of God. I would also encourage you that we as a church are at a crossroads whereby God is getting our attention in the day that we're living, that we become candidates for revival here at Siloam. You say, what makes us a candidate for revival? Because God has got us in a place of desperate straits and a crossroads, And I like to say this about my own life, and I think it's true about our church. God has us in the vice grip, and He is putting the pressure on. What do you mean God's got us in the vice grip? Well, God's bringing all of us to the place whereby we can be blessed by bringing us to the end of ourselves. Henry Blackaby is another man that I believe was a student for revival, headed up our spiritual awakening department for the Home Mission Board for so many years, and was instrumental in so many lives with his study on how to know God and to do His will. By the way, that's been revised, and it's just come out in a new series, and I'm kind of excited about viewing that again, because I believe it's something Southern Baptists have looked at, but I don't know that we've practiced very much of it. We talk about dying to self and getting to where God is and what God's up to, but folks, it'll cost you to die. It'll cost you to be humble. It'll cost you your rights. It'll cost you your willingness to pick somebody else up. Even the opposing, and carry them base by base until they get a home run. Be amazing to me what God could do through us if we'd let Him do just exactly that. Henry Blackaby, in his book called The Call of God, contrasts a humble person and a proud person. Let me give you some of the insights that he has. The world says pride is important. Jesus says humility is important. The world says hitch your wagon to a star. Jesus said He is Lord. The world says be successful. Jesus says be obedient. The world says to preachers, be a professional. God says to preachers and to deacons and to His leadership, be a servant. The world says compete with one another. God says serve one another. The world says defend your rights. God says give away your rights. The world says negotiate for the best deal. God says obey my commands obediently and absolutely. The world says strive for excellence. The Bible says let Jesus live through your life. The world says save your life. Jesus said lose your life. The world says affirm self. Jesus said deny yourself. The world says activity is important. Well, we bought into that one. Jesus says, and the Bible teaches, not so much that activity is important, character is important. The world says you don't have to put up with this. Jesus said you do, and you must take up your cross. The world says live to die. The Bible says die to live. The world says be a ruler and get to the top. Jesus said a ruler is the one who serves. The world says things will make you happy. Jesus says character brings joy. The world says provide for a rainy day. God says trust me in the present and I am faithful. The world says walk by sight. God said walk by faith. The world says set your goals and your priorities. The Father says He has the right to set the goals and to establish the priorities. The world says take the initiative and do the best you can and ask God to bless it. Just wait upon God, and faith is my response to what God initiates. And I'm to let God initiate things in my life. What does the world say? The world says, plan by objectives. The Bible says God has His own objectives. The world says, befriend the world to reach the world. I want to say that again. The world says, befriend the world or live like the world to reach the world. Jesus said, if you are a friend of this world, you're an enemy of God. The world says, hate your enemies. Jesus said, love your enemies. See, everything about the Christian life is the opposite of what the world teaches. And Habakkuk had come through a cycle in his life whereby God had taught him that he must give up his rights, that he was broken before God, and whatever God had for his people, even though it was wrath and judgment, he embraced it, enlisted it. He didn't fight against it. He had accepted the will of God. Now, folks, we'll never know the will of God here at this church until we're willing to lay aside any agenda or thought pattern or pretense based on what you assume God's will is for this fellowship. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me in church how we have pre-programmed and have also preconceived in our mind how God operates outside the realm of faith. Both faith is believing what God says to us. And if we're not in a position to hear God, we can't respond to what God has for us. Now, what position do you have to be in for you to be in a position that God can hear you? I said it this morning, you have to be in a position of weakness. You have to be in a position of brokenness. You have to be in a position of yieldedness. You have to be in a position of emptiness. How does that happen? I preached in a church Tuesday night in our area. It's on the other side of Greenville. And I'm astounded sometimes when you preach in churches exactly what people hear you preach. And I got through preaching, and here's what the preacher said. He made this statement. He said, that sermon is something that I know is true. But in reality, very few churches and Christians practice it. And then here's what he said. He said, we need to learn what it is to die to ourselves. Now, to begin with, number one, he really didn't hear me. Because number one, you can't die to yourself. Because if you nail one hand, you can't nail the other. The truth of the matter is, folks, we've already died. When did we die? We died when Jesus died. His death was my death. What does it mean when Jesus said, deny yourself and take up your cross? It simply means that you tell yourself the truth that you're dead. And as you begin to live in that realm of choosing to choose against yourself, and you obligate yourself to only what God has, and you're submissive to whatever God wants, then you'll get in on what God has and God wants. I want to say this again, and I've said it I don't know how many times, but this includes this preacher. This includes every leader in this church. This includes every staff person. We will never, ever, ever get in on what God has for us until we absolutely come to the place that we have no desire except His. That's where Habakkuk was able to land. Did you know that girl that played first base, she was the home run leader? She hit more home runs than anybody in that conference. The little girl that hit the home run had never hit one in her life. That girl gave up her rights, gave up her privileges, went over there and asked the umpire, said, can we carry her around the bases? I wonder if we'll have somebody. Starting with me. Are we really giving up our rights? Now, folks, there's a difference between yielding your rights and compromising truth. We're not to compromise the truth. We're never, ever to compromise what the Bible teaches. But I tell you what we are as believers to be. We're to be people that put Jesus first, other second, and forget about ourselves. Only then is it possible for us to get in on what God has for us. I wonder if you could just look and hear and see tonight what God had for us. If it was something like Habakkuk was told, would you embrace it? You know what Habakkuk was told? I'm raising up the Babylonians. They're going to take over your land. What if God told you tonight, China is going to take over the United States? He said, I don't see any way our country can be taken by another country. They're already buying up half the property here in this country. Did you hear what I just said? They're already purchasing and buying the property in this land. Let me tell you something. Don't you think for a moment America is not a candidate for the wrath of God. I pray that God will be merciful to us. But I also know that we're living in the exact time and the characteristic of the day is just like it was in the days of Habakkuk. And if we who are believers are so insensitive to the day that we're living, don't you know something? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the day of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And we're living in perilous times, difficult days. And the only hope for our land is a move of God. A move of God. God has us to a point and place, folks, that we're in His vice grip. And I'll tell you what, when God clamps it, He knows how to put the pressure. Now we're in a position as a church that we either see God move or we're going to have to face the facts that He has our attention. As pastor, I want to encourage you, we're in a good position to be in. Somebody asked me this week, what are we going to do? I'll tell you what we better do. Whatever God says. And I want you to know as your pastor, I am absolutely, unreservedly, unequivocally sold out to let God do whatever He wants to do, to teach us what He wants to teach us, and to bring us wherever He wants to bring us. And if God is trying to teach us to pick somebody else up and carry them around the bases and give up our rights. And I believe He is. I, for one, want to cooperate with Him. How about you? What's it going to take for my will to break? You know, we can sing these songs. I'm willing to rather have Jesus than silver and gold, and we complain about the gas price. How can we sing that and then complain about the cost of gas? You say, well, we're just singing songs. That's exactly right. But when you have revival, singing songs is over. God will bring us to a place of brokenness, yieldedness, emptiness, so that He can use us. You say, well, things are not near as bad as you think. I think they're worse than I ever thought. In fact, I'll tell you this. The only hope for our country is a spiritual awakening. And it's not time for us to stop seeking the Lord. It's time for us to seek Him while He can be found. And it's not time for us not to repent. It's time for us to repent. Sad thing written about Esau. It says that Esau sought repentance and couldn't find it. I hope we can find it as God deals with our hearts and speaks to our lives.